Hey, good morning, Hope Church and friends of Hope Church. So glad that you're joining us online today. And I can't wait. Just in a couple of weeks, on the 31st of May, we're going to be able to have a service here at Hope Church. Well, you already know we're in a series called Don't Worry, Be Happy, Confident Living During Troubled Times. You know, I like the title, Don't Worry, Be Happy, but have you ever noticed that sometimes our confidence kind of ebbs and flows? Like one week we're super confident, and then the very next week we're struggling. It can even be day to day. One day we're up, one day we're down. Hey, what do you think causes that? One of the big reasons has to do with what's going on inside of us. This is what 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 says. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. You see, from an inside perspective, this matters because we're walking in one or the other. We're walking in condemnation, we're walking in confidence. Now, you can probably already guess what causes us to have condemnation. I think one of the big ones is unresolved guilt. Remember what David wrote in the Psalms. He said this, "When I hold my guilt inside, I am miserable." Wasn't that long ago I read this. There was a sign that said a clean engine produces more power. And I believe that happens in humans too. When we have unresolved guilt, it makes us miserable. It makes us lose our confidence. So what do we do with that? Well, we're going to talk about that. But let me mention just one more reason that our confidence ebbs and flows, and it has to do with what's going on inside of us. How about unrealistic expectations? Those expectations that for some reason, somehow, we put upon ourselves. The idea of, I must please everybody. I should, I must, I ought, I have to. We're always doing more. You know, if you're one of those people who has a to-do list of 29 different items, and at the end of the day, you got done 28 of them, and then you go home and you're like, ah, I'm such a failure because I didn't get the last one done. That's hard on us. Perfectionism is hard on us. And both guilt and unrealistic expectations cause us to have a lack of confidence, and it comes from the inside. So how do we replace our condemnation with confidence? I think one of the things that we can do, and maybe this sounds simple, but oh, it's important, especially for Christian people. It's this: accept God's forgiveness and live a forgiven life. In Romans chapter 3, and I like how the Living Bible puts this, it says, all of us have sinned, and all fall short of God's ideal. Yet now God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who is his kindness, and he freely takes away our sin. You see, that's great news. God wants to forgive you, and we need to accept God's forgiveness. You see, Christians intellectually know this. In 1 John 1, 9, it says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. We know that in our heads, but how do we get that in our heart so we don't just know it in our heads, but we actually feel forgiven? In Proverbs chapter 4, here's part of the solution. Look straight ahead with honest confidence and don't hang your head in shame. How about this? You've confessed a sin to God and yet you still feel lousy. So what do you do about that? Do you confess it to God again and again and again? The reality is this. If you confess your sin to God, God will forgive you. You don't need to confess it over and over again. You confess a sin one time and it is forgiven forever. But you may have to forgive yourself 100 or 200 times. You may have to remind yourself over and over, God forgave me. It's over. God forgave me. I am cleansed. God forgave me. I am not going back there. And maybe you have to do that a couple hundred times until it sinks in. See, one of our problems is we want to keep reminding God of the things He's already forgotten. And we think by doing that, it will actually appease us, and it really doesn't. Someone once asked Eleanor Roosevelt, "How do you accomplish so much with your life?" She said, "I never waste time with regret." Once you accept God's forgiveness and forgive yourself, here's another thought that will help you have more confidence. I said it this way, live relaxed in God's grace and zip it with negative self-talk. Live relaxed in God's grace and zip it with negative self-talk. Hey, you don't have to be perfect for God to genuinely love you. Listen to what Psalms 119:96 says. Nothing is perfect except God's word. You see, grace is the antidote for perfectionism. Realizing that there's nothing perfect except the beauty, the scriptures, God's word. It also says in Psalm 103:13, as a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him. You see, God understands. God realizes our humanity. He knows our faults. He knows our fears. He knows our failures. He knows the things that frustrate us. And God doesn't expect you to be a superhero. Proverbs 4 says this, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Long before psychology came around, God said, your thoughts determine your feelings, and your feelings determine your actions. If you want to change your life, then you have to change the way you look at life. Do you understand when you put yourself down? When you say, I'm dumb, I'm ugly, I'm no good, I have no talent. You're basically saying, hey, God, you made a mistake. God, you don't really care, because if you cared, I would be bigger, I would be smaller, I would be taller, I would be shorter. God, you blew it. And that's why God says, hey, don't do that. I didn't make a mistake. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And by the way, I loved you so much, I even allowed my son to die in your place. The Bible also says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you're always the person complaining about how tired you are, or how sick you are, or how sick and tired you are, that's how you're going to live your life. Do you understand? If you want to have a different life and if you want to have more confidence, we can't just look from a human perspective. We have to look through God's perspective. And He says, there's nothing perfect except my word. The Lord is kind to those who honor Him. Be careful how you think, because your thoughts shape your life. How do you eliminate self-talk that's negative? How do you zip it? Well, it depends on where you focus. You have to use the principle of replacement. Replace your thoughts with actual thoughts that are from God. That's what Philippians 4:8 says. It says, Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right, and think about all you can thank God for and be glad about it. Think about what God has called you to be. Think about what you want to be. Don't just focus on what's wrong. Focus on what is right. I don't know any better antidote when it comes to a low self-esteem than understanding how God thinks about us. And how do you understand how God thinks about us? Well, you read the scriptures. You understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You understand that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of sin. You understand that for God so loved you, He allowed His Son to die in your place. You meditate on the thing that is true, and it makes a difference in your life. Be careful how you think, because your thoughts shape your actions, and then your actions actually shape your life. Here's one other thought in terms of how do you increase your self-confidence. Quit trying to please everybody and focus on God's will. The root of our insecurity, a lot of it is that we're trying to please everybody and we're focusing on what we think other people want us to be. That's why the author of Proverbs chapter 29 says this: it is dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. Why is that dangerous? It's because we waste so much time and we waste so much energy trying to figure out what other people want us to be and then to fit in that box, and sometimes it's just not us. I mean, you can't please everybody. Not even God can please everybody. Think about this. One person says, God, could you please make it quit raining? Another person on the other side of town says, God, would you please make it rain? Well, what is God going to do? Even God can't please everybody, and neither can you. It's really a myth to think that we can't have a good self-esteem if everybody isn't pleased with us. Hey, none of us like to be rejected, but rejection isn't going to ruin your life. You've been rejected, I've been rejected, of course it hurts. But you don't have to please everybody to be happy. Nobody can make you feel inferior unless you give that to them. But I can promise you, if you focus on pleasing everybody instead of truly trying to do God's will, you're going to have struggle. Quit trying to please everybody. We all need to accept God's forgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to relax in God's grace and then live as people who have been graced by God. And it's okay not to be perfect. Everybody wants you to be something different. All of us have expectations, and unfulfilled expectations are the root of a lot of sorrow. Let's just think, in a couple of weeks, we're going to come back to church, and there's going to be somebody who says, I am wearing a mask because that's the right thing to do. And somebody else is going to say, I'm not wearing a mask because that is the right thing to do. And you're both right. And if you want to wear a mask, you need to wear a mask. If you want to be the person who wants to give a hug, then find somebody else who wants to give you a hug, but respect the person who says, I not only don't want a hug, I want you 15 feet away from me. Hey, by the way, we're going to set up the church in such a way, and I promise you this, the closer you sit to the front, the less interaction you will have with anybody. Do you understand that if we live graced by God and then we show grace to others, it makes a big difference? not only in our confidence, but in the confidence of those that were around. Yesterday, I was so angry. Matter of fact, Sharon was in the car praying that I wouldn't do something really wrong. I listened to a man screaming at his kids while we were in the Home Depot parking lot, calling them the most filthy four-letter words I could ever imagine. And I thought about those little kids and how impressionable they were and how this big, mean, you know, acting father, and I don't know what was going on in his life. I'm trying not to judge him. But I was so angry how he was treating those kids. I mean, to hear the words he was using on a construction site would be inappropriate. But to be yelling at these little kids and hear Sharon in the car praying, God, don't let Jim do something dumb. I can see on his face right now, he is not happy. And I wasn't happy. And then Sharon said, hey, Jim, can you pray for this man that God would help him? I don't want to pray for him. I want to knock his block off. Every one of us can be people filled with God's grace and then give grace. And by the way, I did pray for the man that God would help him. Obviously, he was hurting, and hurting people hurt people. You want to do better in life and have your confidence soar? Your attitude affects the altitude. And when we have unrealistic expectations, we have unresolved guilt, there's a sense of failure that causes us to lose confidence. And if we don't measure up even to our own standards, how do we then focus on measuring up to God's standards? It's a hard way to live, and it burdens us. In Matthew, it says this, and it's probably one of the most important verses in life. Come to me, and Jesus is speaking, come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying your heavy loads, and I will give you rest. The yoke I give you is easy, and the load you will put on is light. Hey, everybody's carrying a yoke. You're carrying a yoke this morning. You know, what's got you burdened? Is it finances? Is it COVID-19? Is it family? Is it guilt? Is it resentment? I mean, all of us have a burden, and some of them are very heavy. Many times we try to prove in life that we matter, and we think it's because of what we do, and we don't focus on the reality that it's whose we are. God says we're his children, and that he sent his son to die for us, and that he will forgive us, and that we can live in his grace. Jesus says, put on my yoke. Take off this heavy one and put on my yoke. What's his yoke? It's his plan for your life. You were made for purpose. It's the purpose of the Lord. And when you do his purpose, life seems to work in a way that's worth living. When we get out of his purpose, it's like we run against a brick wall again and again and again. Put on my purpose. My plan is a yoke you can wear. You're like, okay, hold on a minute. Are you saying that my relationship with Christ, the Christian life, is easy if I just do it God's way? I'm not saying that. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We know too well that life is hard, but don't miss the point here. Jesus didn't come to put burdens on us. Jesus came to bless us. Jesus came to help us. Jesus came to lift us up because he knew there were things in life that were going to try to drag us down. And a lot of it happens on the inside. Jesus is probably saying to somebody watching today, take my yoke because it's wearable. Take off that heavy yoke of guilt you've been carrying. Put it down. How about you accept the lighter load of my grace? How about you just see how much more comfortable that is? You're wearing a yoke from other people that you're not supposed to wear. How about wear the yoke that I have called you to wear? It's called my purpose for your life, and you can understand it through my scriptures. How about we take off that yoke of perfectionism, where you're trying to prove that you're perfect to win some type of approval from somebody here on earth? And how about we focus on God's grace? How about we focus and do the hard work of living in His will? It's light, it's easier, and it is not at all unrealistic. So we're in a series called Don't Worry, Be Happy, Confident Living During Troubled Times. And this happens best when we get rid of our unresolved guilt, when we get rid of those unrealistic expectations, and we live with the yoke of the Lord in our lives. Well, God bless you. I love you all so much, and I can't wait to get back together again. But until we do, I believe that we can have more confidence in our lives, even during troubled times, when we focus on His grace and live as people who've been graced by Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can get rid of unresolved guilt, and we can put at bay unrealistic expectations. Those things that push us to hurt more, those things that push us to do more, that make our bodies so tired. God, would you help us to relax in your grace? I know that you love us. I know, oh God, that if we confess our sins, you not only want to forgive us, but you want to cleanse us. God, rewire our thinking. Help us to think through the lens of Scripture. Help us to believe your promises are actually true and real for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, may God bless you and keep you. May His face radiate about you. And this week, may He fill you with His peace. Can't wait to see you soon. God bless you. Goodbye.